Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. It is The Weekend with your boy, Joe Pags. Hopefully things are going great for you. Got a lot of serious stuff to talk about this weekend. I've got a lot of serious interviews to bring you as well. The school shooting in Parkland, Florida, of course, is still top of mind. And it needs to be, and we need to do something about it. And obviously we can't do anything about that shooting, but we need to do something about why this is happening. What do we do about it? A lot of compassion, a lot of very, very sad conversation that's been happening since Valentine's Day of all days when this happened. We've got an interview with a young lady that survived the shooting from Parkland, Florida. And I'll bring you that interview at the bottom of this hour. I've also got Ted Nugent. He's on the NRA Board of Directors. He's also the Motor City Madman. We're going to talk to him, too. We're going to talk a lot about the Olympics, which are failing so far for NBC. And it could be because of the time change. It's so distant where South Korea is. It could be because people are tired of politics when they didn't expect politics. Could be that. We'll talk about that, too. But I want to make sure I understand. Do I really have Miranda Moreno screening my calls today? Is that really going on?
You do.
Miranda, how are you?
Joe, I'm great. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. This is a super pleasure. For those who don't know, this is a radio superstar right here.
Oh, geez.
And also, the mother of what I believe, and I've got a lot of kids, I believe might be the most beautiful baby I've ever seen. How is the child?
She's perfect.
She is. You're right.
My good friends, everybody calls her a trap baby because...
What does that mean?
Well, because she's so well-behaved and she's so cute and my pregnancy was so easy that she makes people who don't want children want children, and they're going to think that their kid's going to turn out this way, and chances are they're not. And
that's a gorgeous child.
Thank you.
And no, most kids are not going to be as easy as that one was. Again, I've got a bunch of children, but from what I've seen, you're an amazing mother. Oh. Your husband is a great guy, and this baby is just put that baby in movies or something. Wow.
I don't want to ruin her. She's too
that's
good.
True.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to keep her all to myself.
You
and
sound
my Instagram
very happy.
Followers.
I love to. Yes. Now, can people go to your Instagram, or am I putting you out there for no reason?
No, they can. I'm not private.
But please, if you tell them the Instagram name.
It's Mirduh, MIRDUH47.
I want people to understand that I'm not just making this, I'm not blowing smoke. This is a beautiful child. And again, you're a wonderful person. I haven't talked to you in a long time, so
yeah.
I'm glad that you're on the phones today.
Happy to be here.
I want to apologize because it's going to be busy.
Okay, I can handle it.
It's going to be a busy day.
I am ready. I've got two cups of coffee in front of me. I'm good.
Well, there you go. And I'm going to lean on you because already people are like, well, I want to hear her voice more than yours.
Oh, geez.
Loud guy. So there you go. Miranda, just great to work with you today. Thank you so much for coming in.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on, and I want to break it down. And now people who are listening already know that I'm a conservative guy. You already know that I'm a Second Amendment supporter. You already know that I'm a gun owner. You already know that I'm in the NRA. Having said that, hating the NRA doesn't make any sense to me. I've never understood that. Jimmy Kimmel comes out in a studio where he's safe and secure. That studio is protected by people with guns. And it's not saying that he's a guy that shouldn't be protected with guns. Make sure that you hear me clearly. When Michael Keaton goes on Instagram and goes on and on about how the Republicans are weak and cowardly because they won't make gun change or gun control laws or something, that doesn't make sense. Every major movie set he's ever been on, I guarantee, even at Mr. Mom in 1983, he was protected by good guys with guns as well. He should be. You know, when you go into a bank, if it's a bank that's in an area that's been robbed a lot, and this is happening more frequently, banks will have an armed guard. The armed guard is not a negative. It's not bad. The gun that he or she is holding isn't something that is there for bad. It's there to protect you and, more specifically, the bank's money. So money is important enough. A movie set is important enough. A TV studio is important enough. Schools aren't. I don't understand why our kids aren't important enough. So I understand the argument, get rid of all guns. And let me tell you this, and those who are gun lovers or gun supporters or gun rights, you know, people, you're going to hate what I'm about to say. If you got rid of all guns, this would stop. Now, there's still the bad guy that'll pull a Bastille Day and run over 80 people and kill them with a truck. that's still going to happen because evil on earth exists. But yes, if you got rid of all guns, these shootings would stop. They would. If there isn't a gun, you can't shoot somebody. Now let's come back to reality. There are 300 million guns in the United States of America. 300 million. Just about a gun per person in this country. You cannot get rid of guns. You can't press a button and make them go away. But why does a regular citizen in any town USA need an AR-15? It's an assault rifle 15. Well, it's not. It's just a long gun. It's a rifle. The AR stands for Armalite, which is the company that made them. It doesn't mean assault rifle. There's no such thing as an assault rifle. Well, why does a regular person need a military-style gun? What makes a gun military-style? Why does somebody need an automatic rifle like that? It's not automatic. It's semi-automatic, which means you pull the trigger once, one bullet comes out. It's just like my handgun. You pull the trigger once, one bullet comes out. It's not automatic. It's not a machine gun. There's no such thing as an assault weapon for the regular citizenry in America. An assault weapon is something used in military warfare. And an assault weapon is, generally speaking, automatic. Now, I'm not an expert on that. Ted Nugent is, and we'll talk to him next hour about this. But here we are, a few days after the latest school shooting. And we've got people on either side yelling and screaming at each other, and we're not being reasonable. We're not using our heads. We're not being smart. And I want us to be smart. You know, because of my five daughters, because of Miranda's beautiful child, and because of, and I'm not suggesting Miranda agrees or disagrees with me. What I'm saying is, if you've got children, if you've got grandchildren, if you've got family that you love, why can't we be reasonable? And I think that we should be. It's very easy for people to be reasonable. Look, that separates us from the animals in the wild. They don't have reason. We do. They don't have rationale. We do. So when you call in, if you want to debate or argue, we can do that. I enjoy that. I like that. But make sure that you're on the up and up. Make sure that you understand that when a Jimmy Kimmel, who again is protected by guns, or a Barack Obama, who again is protected, his kids and he are protected by guns 24/7. And by the way, I think they should be. I'm not arguing that they shouldn't be. But when CNN, where I've worked at CNN in New York on 58th Street in New York, you can't walk in until you get vetted by men and women with guns. They protect the studio. Or Premier Networks. Or, you know, Radio City, which is where that is in New York, where I've worked plenty of times. There is armed security. Why? Because it's smart. Because without it, you're telling the bad guy, don't worry, we can't protect ourselves here. So at some point, you got to get smart and you have to be reasonable. If you want to make political points, it's not going to go well for you today. Political points don't matter. Telling me vote Democrat or vote Republican is stupid. What I want to vote is when students go to school, they can worry about their schoolwork. They can worry about their athletic, you know, event today. They can worry about learning that piece of music in band or choir. They can worry about that boy or that girl they like. They can worry about that test that they knew was coming for 2 weeks. They shouldn't go to school and worry, I wonder if I'll go home today. That's unreasonable. So let me go through the list. And again, a lot of people are going to want to be heard today. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Oh, let me disabuse you of believing the one thing that Kimmel and others keep on reporting. And every one of the networks have reported this. The President Trump did not overturn an Obama-era regulation that stops mentally ill people from getting guns. That's a lie. It's untrue. In fact, the ACLU agreed with Congress and this president that what Obama tried to do was illegal and unconstitutional. And we can get into the details of that if you want, but let me say it again. When the media says this president wanted mentally ill people or allowed mentally ill people to get guns, that's a lie. It's also a lie that we've had 18 school shootings this year. That's a Bloomberg organization made up number, just as 300 of them since 1995 in this country is also a made up number. Now, the true number is 25 since 1995, and that's disgusting. There shouldn't be one. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not happy that there are 25 school shootings. But I'm unhappy that the misreporting is happening just to try to win your heart and mind on a topic that's very important to us all. So let me quickly run through a list that I wrote the day after the shooting. Late at night, on my Facebook, I didn't feel like arguing with anybody. I just wanted to be reasonable. Blaming an organization founded to protect our Second Amendment rights for a heinous crime is unreasonable. And for some reason, the NRA is suddenly, somehow they put a gun in somebody's hand and made him go shoot people. Blaming a tool or a piece of machinery for said crime is unreasonable. By the way, auto accidents alone, 30,000 or what is it, 40,000 people a year die in America. 30,000 by gun violence. Or 30,000 by guns, not necessarily criminally, because a good guy with a gun sometimes kills a bad guy with a gun. But it's 40,000. Nobody's talking about banning cars. And neither am I. We shouldn't. We should make cars safer, certainly. But banning them would be stupid. Banning guns would be just as stupid. Parents and children getting ready for school having an absolute expectation they'll make it home safely is reasonable. With a propensity for evil on earth to target our children, teachers, and schools, expecting all schools we fund with our tax dollars to have the ability to stop a killer is reasonable. Realizing the worst school massacre in our history happened in Bath Township, Michigan in 1927 and was done with explosives and fire is reasonable. Knowing this and understanding that it's not the motive of the murders, but rather stopping the person who wants to do it is reasonable. Making heinous crimes like this about creating new laws and controls on good people is unreasonable. Understanding it's already against the law to bring a firearm to a school and to shoot innocent people with it is reasonable. The fact leading to you having that knowledge that bad people with bad intentions don't follow the law is reasonable. I've never taken a dime from the NRA, so the argument that people who feel as I do somehow are bought off is unreasonable. Knowing mass shootings don't happen at police stations because everyone there is able to fight back is reasonable. Not applying the same process to where our children go for 7 to 10 hours a day is unreasonable. And allowing schools to teach, feed, and care for our children all day but not give them the ability to protect themselves and the children if a disgusting killer shows up is unreasonable. Now, these are facts. This isn't conjecture. It's not my opinion. It's what people are supposed to do. We're supposed to be rational and reasonable and logical and smart. And so often we're not. And it's like we're gleefully not. And it's strange to me. It is. And again, let me just reiterate this. The loudest voices for gun control now, gun reform now, gun, are all protected by guns. They won't talk about that because it would make their argument look stupid and specious. But they are. And you'll notice, I've never said one word about take the gun away from your protection. I think it's unreasonable that Congress and the president are all protected by guns and feel safe and secure when they go to work every day representing us. And our children don't enjoy the same feeling of safety and security. Bottom of this hour is going to be Kelsey Friend. Kelsey Friend is a 16-year-old girl who goes to school at that school at Parkland, in Parkland, Florida. She survived the shooting and watched her favorite teacher die in front of her. What she has to say is way more important than what Jimmy Kimmel has to say, or Michael Keaton, or Joe Pags. What she has to say is very important. And what she faced that day and what 3,200 students faced that day, we need to understand that we have failed as a society if we won't offer them simple safety and security at school. 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay here. It is the weekend with Joe Pags. You can also stop by my website, joepags.com, for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, you can click on Find a Station, and that sends me an email. Put your zip code or put your city in. I'll let you know if we either have the Monday through Friday show on in your city or if we're working on it. We're at 105 affiliates now, I think, Monday through Friday, so we appreciate your support there. Really glad to have you along for the ride. Talking about the school shooting, obviously, and what to do to stop this from continuing. It happened on Valentine's Day. Bottom of the hour, you're going to hear from a 16-year-old girl. Her name is Kelsey Friend. She attends that school, and she was right there, as she says, her teacher, 35-year-old Mr. Beagle, died protecting her and others in that school. You know, and it really jumps out at me that you've got several adults who tried to stop young people from dying, and they took bullets and died themselves. At that school that day. We expect so much from teachers, from administrators, from faculty members, from janitors, for God's sakes, from cafeteria workers at schools. But we don't give them the ability to actually protect our children. So these people died doing so. We now understand how they were willing to lose their lives to protect young people, and they actually did it. I don't see why it would be a problem for somebody who, like that, a teacher who has a concealed carry permit, who has the extra training, whatever the extra training might be, to have the ability to at least try to fight back. And you hear weird arguments like, well, the collateral damage, and they'll hit innocent students. You had 17 innocent people die that day. They had one resource officer on the campus, one, who's armed. It's a police officer. Never saw the shooter. Was nowhere near this. He's a guy on a golf cart that's riding around a campus of 3,200 people. A campus of 3,200 people, it's like a college. That's an enormous high school campus. You can't for a second expect that one resource officer can do much. We'll have Kelsey Friend after the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around for that. Let me go to the phone lines. It's line two, Jim in Bushnell, Florida. Jim, what's going on?
Joe, first of all, thanks for all the work that you do. I enjoy listening to you, and
thanks,
my
man.
Heart goes out to the families of the victims down in Florida.
Yes, sir.
It seems like Florida has a propensity for these kind of things with Pulse and the Fort Lauderdale Airport, now the school. Just a couple of things. These people that cry, you know, for gun control, the strictest gun control laws have not worked. Chicago is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
And I love the word reasonable. When you talk about just putting facts down and looking at whether or not they're reasonable. Let me ask a question. Why not make it required for everyone to have a license to have a gun? We do it with cars. Any child, any 16 or 17-year-old or 18-year-old kid that gets behind a car needs to have a license. If they don't, then they're going to
I've only got 30 seconds, but I want to answer you. It's a good question, and I want to keep you on the line as I do. It's unreasonable to ask us to register or have a license for every single gun you buy, because then it thwarts the original meaning of the Second Amendment, which was to stop a tyrannical government. If the government has a registry that Jim and Joe have guns, that's where they're going to go and take them if a tyrant were to take over. And that's a real concern. I mean, 70 years ago, Hitler did this. So I understand where you're coming from, but it's unreasonable because it then gives the government the advantage should some bad guy take over. My interview with Kelsey Friend when we come back. Stay here. Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, the Blaze Radio Network. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. Really glad to have you along for the ride, and really glad to be able to give you my interview. I did this yesterday with Kelsey Friend. She is a student who is a survivor of the shooting in Parkland, Florida. Kelsey, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you guys for having me on to speak my story.
It's a harrowing thing to hear about. I grew up in South Florida. I'm very familiar with Coral Springs and the Parkland area, and it pulls at my heartstrings. I've got a daughter who's 17. I've got four other daughters beside her. Are you 17? How old are you?
I'm actually 16.
Okay, so you're 16 years old, and you went to school any normal day. Actually, it might have even been an exciting day because it's Valentine's Day. Can you tell me sort of what the setup is? Can you remember what your thought process was going to school that day? Good mood, bad mood, nice weather out? What was going on?
I was actually in a very good mood because I had a Valentine who was a really close friend of mine who is actually my ex.
Okay.
And me and him had just started talking and we were going to hang out in the library. And
go ahead.
It kind of fell downhill from there after the library and then the incident happened.
I remember, you know, it's been a long time, but I remember being 16. And I remember the excitement of driving for the first time in Florida. And I remember, you know, I liked some girl and I would go on Valentine's Day and I wonder if she liked me too. And I got to understand, you had all that going on. And that's really what you should be focused on as a 16-year-old on Valentine's Day. And maybe you had a test coming up or maybe, you know, you had to go solve that problem with a friend or whatever. And as you said, it all went downhill from there. About 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm guessing, is what you're talking about. So you were actually talking with your friend, and you heard gunshots, or you heard screaming. What happens?
I was actually, it was a first A lunch, which is around, like, 11, 12.
Okay.
And then I had my one extra class, which was third period, and then I was in fourth, which is my teacher's class,
okay,
where I heard the gunshots.
What did you immediately think? Because I know a lot of people are saying they thought maybe it was balloons popping on Valentine's Day. What did you think was going on?
I thought it was just a drill because we had rumors going around the school saying that the police would arrive with fake firearms and fake bullets to go off to scare the students. And they had said they'd pulled the fire alarm to catch the students whoever go out of the classroom to warn them because shooters did do that. And unfortunately, there was an active shooter that actually did that.
Yeah, we now know that this bad guy who's admitted to all the killing he's going to rot in hell for a very long time. We know that he pulled the fire alarm in order to get more of you running in the same direction. Did you know this guy before this happened? Was he somebody you were aware of?
Not really. I didn't know him on a personal level.
Yeah.
I just knew his name, and I've heard his name around school, and I've heard that he was a weird person. But other than that, I've never met him in my life.
It's Kelsey French. She's 16 years old. She's a student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. She's a survivor from the school shooting a couple of days ago. When you say that you'd heard of him, he was a weird guy. Everybody who knew him now says, oh, yeah, we're not surprised. You think that there were signs pointing to the fact that this guy could do something like this?
Oh, yeah, there were signs all over Instagram and how the stories arose after the shooting from those students. And I'm just surprised no action was taken to prevent this.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's Kelsey, a friend. Kelsey, so you hear the gunshots, you hear the fire alarm go off, you think that it's probably a drill. But like anybody who's been trained to react to a fire alarm, do you start heading toward an exit? What do you do?
I was, our school has code red drills, and we know what to do. We know where to go and how to proceed with these drills. So I immediately went to my teacher, Mr. Beagle, who did unfortunately pass away in the shooting, and I told him I'm scared, and then we heard the gunshots, and he unlocked the door, and I ran into the classroom.
Scott Beagle was 35 years old. He's a guy that you say saved your life and the lives of many. Was he one of your teachers or somebody that you had before? Was he a teacher you had this year?
He was actually my teacher this year, and he is still my favorite teacher, and I will never forget him. And I did have him that fourth period hour.
So you heard this going on, and you went to him and said, "What's going on? What do we do?"
I went to him and I said, I don't know what's going on. I'm scared.
Yeah. And he said, get here in this room?
No, he just looked at me with pure terror in his face. And then we heard the gunshots and he knew exactly what to do.
Wow. We hear the names, Kelsey, and here we are, you know, on a show that's around the nation. I'm sitting in San Antonio, Texas. You're in South Florida. We hear the names, we hear the ages, and we weep and we're sorry about it. But we don't know Scott Beagle. We don't know him at all. Tell us why he was your favorite teacher. Who is this? Who was he?
Mr. Beagle was just an amazing person. He had stories from, he just came back from Africa helping other students over there learn. And he was just an amazing person that the world needed. He was kind-hearted. He was very funny with his silly jokes, and he will be missed.
Did you feel as though he put himself between the gunman and you to save your life?
Yes, I truly do. He was lying in the doorway after the gunman had shot him, and the door was wide open, so I believe that the shooter thought no one else in the there was no one else in that classroom because it looked abandoned.
People around the country, it's Kelsey French. She's 16 years old. She goes to the school of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Her favorite teacher saved her life that day, 35-year-old Scott Beagle, who lost his. And again, we're very detached from it. And I'm sorry about that. I wish that we knew Scott Beagle. I wish that we knew you better. I wish that we knew the other 16 who also died. We don't. And that's why I'm really glad that you have the strength to come on. You obviously have friends. You're a teenager. You sound like a wonderful human being. So I'm guessing you have plenty of friends. Have you had a chance to talk to people and just looked at, I mean, other than hugging and crying together, which I'm sure there's plenty of, and that'll continue. But have you had a chance to really talk this out with your friends? And where are you guys on all this?
We actually haven't talked, but it's really hard for me to talk to some of my friends because I had lost one of my closest friends in this incident. And I just found out yesterday that Peter Wang died letting students into the classroom and he got shot doing so.
I'm so sorry for everything that you're dealing with. I can't imagine what I would say to my children had they been facing what you're facing. And you're a very, very strong human being, and I'm proud of you for being able to talk about these wonderful people that you've lost. Kelsey, as you talk to my audience, we don't know much about that school. 3,200 students is a ton of people. That's a lot of – it's like a small college, to be honest. There's at least one resource officer that I know of that does have the ability to fight back if somebody shows up, but wasn't anywhere near this. What's the security process to get in? Do you know how this guy got in? And shouldn't there be safety measures to stop somebody from coming in? He Ubered over to the school and came in. Like, if I showed up at that school before the shooting happened, what is it that I would have to do to get in? Do I have to show ID? Do I have to be buzzed in? How does it work?
There is no, this is my first year in the school, but even if you were to go through the front office, I doubt you probably have to show ID, but you don't need to be buzzed in. And you can, quite frankly, just jump the fence to get into Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
Well, I mean, the word that we're hearing from the news reports is that he was dropped off by Uber and walked into some stairwell. Can you just get into a stairwell without going through any security check?
Yeah, the freshman building is the building that he did go up the stairwell. And I was on the third floor. And all you really need to do to get into that stairwell is just open a door and there's stairs. That's basically how he got in.
The school is allegedly going to open again next week. I'm not so sure that's very smart, but you guys need to go somewhere and you need to be able to learn and get educated and better yourselves for your future. It's got to be really, really hard. Do you plan on going back to that school?
I do plan on going back to that school because I still believe that I need to keep my friends and my teacher's spirit alive by attending the school and do anything I can to be brave and to walk through those hallways, walk through that doorway and up those stairs like normal and try not to cry.
And not let him change and stop people from loving each other and change your way of life.
Correct. Us Eagles at Stoneman Douglas, we're very strong individuals, and we're all a huge family, and this has affected us tremendously, and we're excited but nervous to go back to class.
When you said Eagles, it actually hit home with me, Kelsey. It's Kelsey French. She's 16 years old, a student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where that school shooting happened. I was an Atlantic High School Eagle from Delray Beach, so not very far from where you are. And that really did kind of hit me when you said that. Have you had an opportunity to talk to mom and dad or whoever it is that's your support system at home about this and about security and about staying, you know, safe when in school? Or we're not there yet? You guys are still just sort of mourning together and pulling together as a family.
That day of the shooting, I did got out of that building quite quickly.
Yeah.
Because of the scene that was going on, the SWAT team wanted us out so we don't see anything.
Right.
But I got to my mom, and the first thing I did was, like, I blamed it on myself because I felt like I could have done something. And I couldn't because I'm defenseless. And my mom believes that we shouldn't be getting rid of the guns. Our teachers should have guns in our classroom to protect us even more. And I agree with her.
It's a strong stance to take because it's not a popular one, but it's the right stance. And I'll tell you this. You don't know me from anybody, but again, I'm a father of five daughters, and I've got a wife, and I've got a mother and three sisters, and you sound to me like a part of my family. I want to say this very clearly. You did nothing wrong. You could not have stopped it, but there should have been people there, people that are paid by your parents and by the taxpayers in Parkland and Coral Springs, who should have been able to make sure you had a day of school that was only about talking to somebody that you saw as your Valentine. It should have been about a test that you had to take, or maybe having some fun with teacher Scott Beagle. So don't ever, ever blame yourself. No matter what ends up happening now, and hopefully we'll take steps to protect people like you in the future, but this is not your fault. And I know that I'm some idiot on the radio that you don't know, but again, this isn't your fault. It is not your blame. This is the blame of a society that doesn't ensure that you're safe when you go to school. And I'm so sorry that you're facing this.
When you said fun with Mr. Beagle, we were actually playing a game and listening to music before this all this has happened. And that's one of the memories I'll hold close to my heart because he was playing music with his Apple Watch. Wow. And we were doing a game for geography. And then the fire alarm pulled in. That's when it all started. And that's the one memory that I'll have dear to my heart is him smiling and joking around.
It sounds like he loved you and he loved his other students and he was just a dynamite human being. And I'm sorry that he's gone and I'm sorry that I never got a chance to meet him. Kelsey, can we stay in contact? Thank you so much for your strength through all of this.
Thank you. And you guys can most definitely stay in contact.
We really appreciate Kelsey, friend, because it's a harrowing tale. It's an amazing story. I do believe that she's still facing a certain level of shock, and that's why she says it gets worse every day. But for her to have the strength to talk about this, give us some insight into how this piece of garbage got into the school and how he was able to do what he did, it just shows a level of strength and a level of poise that you don't normally see in a 16-year-old. It pulls at your heartstrings, but I don't say that because it's something to say. I say that because it really does. There are 17 innocent people dead, and she didn't say it for political reasons. She said it for reasonable reasons. There should be people on the campus that can protect students and teachers and cafeteria workers and janitors from a bad guy who has bad intentions. And what on earth is going on that a 3,200 student facility is just open? Guy shows up from an Uber, gets into a back stairwell just by pulling the door open, and he's in, pulls a fire alarm, and now he's just shooting it at sitting ducks. It doesn't make sense. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay right here. All right, great to have you. Welcome. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We go to the phone lines in the time remaining. By the way, after the top of the hour, it's going to be Ted Nugent, his own self. Yes, the rock and roll legend. Yes, the Motor City Madman. Yes, the NRA Board of Directors member. We're going to talk about some of the misreporting that's out there on types of guns and things like that. And also the sheer lunacy to say that money or studios or actors or politicians, their lives are important enough to protect, but our students' lives aren't. Our children's lives aren't. And again, let me say what I said off the top, because if you're an anti-gun person, anti-Second Amendment person, and you're saying, no gun, no deaths, that's true. But no gun is an impossibility. 300 million guns. And just to sort of vibe off of what I was saying to the caller before we had to go to break earlier in the hour, the reason that you don't want to license or register every gun, I've got four guns. Now, it's known that I've got four guns, at least. because I'm a public figure and I talk about it on the radio and on television. But most Americans need the safety and security of the government not knowing who has the guns. You're like, well, they can't know they're bad people. No, you should do a better job of making sure bad people don't get them to begin with. For mental health issues, background checks issues, I mean, the military just added 4,000 people to the list of those who can't get guns because they screwed up before the church shooting in Sutherland Springs. They screwed that up. That guy was able to legally buy guns when he shouldn't have been able to. So a better job of making sure those who aren't supposed to get them don't get them. But it's none of the government's business which one of us has guns or the ability to defend ourselves. The Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's not about target practicing. It's not about any of that. It's about letting the government know we're going to keep you in check. We're the boss of you. You can't pull a Hitler on us or a Stalin or a Mao or a North Korea. You can't do that to us because we have the ability to stop you. Let me go to the phone line, say hello, and welcome to line three. It's Jack in Washington. Hi, Jack. What's going on?
Joe, appreciate it. I echo everything you said regarding that Second Amendment, but first let me say a little, Kelsey, if that doesn't make your eyes moist, my gosh, what those kids went through and the parents, I mean, we're
and
all
her strength
it,
to talk about it like about that it. Is amazing. Just her strength just blew me away.
Yep. But Joe, let me tell you, again, I appreciate you. I agree with everything you've said. I grew up with firearms, family of veterans. In the sixth grade, I'll just capsulize. I remember I got my first .22. We went to hunter safety. I took it to grade school for show and tell. We cleared it with the principal. I was so proud of my first .22 single-shot rifle. In high school, we took our rifles to school if we were going hunting after school. We went out with the teachers, compared rifles in the parking lot. We hung them proudly in our pickup trucks. Nobody stole anything. Nobody shot anybody. This is a moral implosion. Of this country. And what I mentioned to your screener was, I've been to a lot of gun shows in my life. I've never seen one rape, one crime of any sort, one robbery, and I can't think of anywhere where there's a higher concentration of firepower than a gun show. And I would ask the liberals, why is that? Because there are armed people there ready to defend themselves. Simple as that. So,
Well, I agree with you. I went to school. I graduated in 1984, and in South Florida, not far from where this shooting happened, we saw guys and even some gals with pickup trucks and gun racks, and it wasn't surprising to see that. And the actual gun was in the gun rack. Nobody feared they would go to the truck and grab it and do something. And I think you're right. There is a change of the heart and soul in this country, and I'm not really sure why it's happened. We can get into, well, in the 1950s, they took the Bible out of school and so on and so forth. But there seems to be some sort of an attack on values that would stop us from doing something so heinous and ridiculous. I'm not sure why. 1-800-501-7080. A lot of people want to be heard on this, and I don't blame you. It's one of those things where we shouldn't just talk in the periphery. Let's talk about real solutions. The real solution right now is let the good guys fight back. I'm open to hearing other solutions, but that's one that would work today. Keep it here. Much more to come.
Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Hopefully, things are going great for you. I appreciate you stopping by. A lot of people want to be heard today. We, of course, are talking about the dominating news, which is the school shooting, the latest school shooting. This one in Parkland, Florida, which is right outside of Coral Springs in the, I believe, Coconut Creek area. It's in Broward County, but not far from the Palm Beach County line. You heard, hopefully you were listening last hour, my interview with the 16-year-old Kelsey friend who survived the shooting, saw her favorite teacher die, some friends died, and she's got great conviction. She's going to go back to the school next week if it opens up again. She says that she and her parents, even before this happened, thought that it was important to have armed security on campus, and they still want it now. And it just seems to be common sense, although the media will focus on the parents, and there are plenty of them who say, do something about gun control. Now, I understand that there's a very hot debate. I don't want to have a hot debate. I want to be reasonable. I want to be smart. I want to do something now that will, in fact, bring us to a place to where we've got more knowledge and we can thwart bad guys like this. There's a lot of misinformation out there in the media when it comes to what an AR is, what a machine gun is, what an assault rifle is or an assault weapon is. And to that end, I wanted to get with the Motor City Madman, the rock and roll legend Ted Nugent, who also is a conservationist. He's also a gun rights activist. He's also an NRA board member. Ted, I appreciate you taking the time. How are you?
I'm doing so good it's stupid, Joe, in spite of the world around me. God bless you, son.
Hey, right back at you, my friend. I got to start right from where everybody seemed to want to go on the liberal left after we saw the heinous, horrendous, disgusting school shooting in Florida the other day. They immediately said, the NRA has blood on their hands. The NRA, hashtag NRA, hashtag NRA should die. And, Ted, I've never understood. I'm a member of the NRA, and I've never, ever taken a dime from them. You're on the board of directors of the NRA. What is it that these people want us to believe the NRA did to cause a nut job to kill people in a school?
Well, you know, Joe, God bless you for celebrating and disseminating truth, logic, and common sense in the American way. And everywhere I go, everywhere I travel, rock and roll and hunting and doing a lot of charity work with great Americans across this country, we don't even waste our time with such presumptuous and such dishonesty in the fake news orgy of the left. It's really appalling. It's beyond the pale. I'd rather talk about the engineered fake news, the cultivated dishonesty in the media constantly referencing assault weapons. I'd like to put that to rest right now.
Please.
With my truth, logic, common sense blood brother Joe Pags. An assault weapon officially is a machine gun that we give to the heroes of our military so that they can assault the enemy. A machine gun. An assault weapon has never, ever been used in any of these shootings. None. And as far as a high-power weapon, which the left use, you know, continues with their lies, the .223 caliber typical AR semi-automatic modern sporting rifle, Joe, it's a semi-automatic caliber .223 modern sporting rifle. It has such low power, it is so not high-power weapon, that the .223 caliber is illegal to hunt deer with in almost all the states out there because it lacks power, i.e., no high power,
yeah.
No assault weapon. And here's another one that no one else will talk about. With a standard dove shotgun, with a duck gun, a pheasant gun, with typical number 4 buckshot you can get at any sporting goods store anywhere in the world, it would be far more deadly and far more destructive and far easier to kill more people with a 12-gauge pheasant gun than it would be with an AR, because a 12-gauge pheasant gun with the proper ammo can shoot in excess of 36 pellets, each of which are more a higher caliber than a .223. You don't have to aim. And here's the clincher, Joe. No one ever resists. No one has been taught to follow their natural human instinct to fight back.
Right.
And when no one resists, it does not matter what weapon, what caliber, or what rate of fire you use. Evil will do whatever evil damn well pleases in a gun-free zone where, by law, good people are forced into unarmed helplessness. Case closed.
Ted, you put a ton out there, and I want to make sure that we dissect it a bit. And I really appreciate you being so explanatory and so clear about it all. It's Ted Nugent, tednugent.com, at Ted Nugent on all the social media. Got millions and millions of followers. Also on the NRA board of directors, and brings common sense every time. AR-15 doesn't mean assault rifle 15. It means Armalite. It's the company that made it back in the day.
That's
the
right.
Media wants us to believe that it's assault rifle. Doesn't mean that. Assault weapon is, again, some movie term or a battlefield term that doesn't apply to the AR-15 that I have in my garage, or in my gun safe, I should say. The AR-15 that I have has never shot anybody. It's not a human hunter, and it's not going to be. The idea that we can vilify one gun. Ted, I'm nowhere near as proficient on weaponry as you are, so let me just ask you if I'm right when I say this. I can shoot my .40 caliber Ruger or my Glock 19 faster than I can shoot my AR-15. Am I right or wrong?
Well, depending on level of proficiency and training, but quite honestly, we have to debunk the training fallacy and lie,
right,
and dishonest fake news as well. the average person, and we take a lot of young people and a lot of special needs kids, and many young families have brought their terminally ill kids to the Nugent Ranch to fill out their last request in life, and more often than not, it includes going to the shooting range and the joys of marksmanship and safe gun handling. Within certainly 1 or 2 minutes, an inexperienced, no experienced individual can master a shotgun, a bow and arrow, a semi-automatic rifle or a semi-automatic handgun to at least send lead down range, sometimes quite effectively, sometimes quite masterfully in a short period of time, because it's a simple tool, much like a hammer and a nail and a hacksaw, quite honestly. So, yes, you are right. There are many people that can, especially, Joe, remember the environment where these shootings take place. Nobody resists.
No, I agree with you. The reason why I asked the question, though, Ted, is because I'm not as proficient as you and not as proficient as so many other people out there, but I know how to handle my gun, know how to clean it, know how to shoot down range. Having said that, the argument on the left and by the media is that an AR-15 is unbelievably easy to shoot 45 rounds a minute. And I'm here to say, I think I can shoot my semi-automatic handgun that nobody's trying to ban faster than I can shoot my AR. And the reason why I say that is we're trying to pretend it's the tool and it's not the person holding it. And the idea that the AR somehow turns people into devil incarnate on Earth and makes us want to kill human beings because it's so easy to do it with it, I think is a fallacy.
Yes, and that goes right along with the fake news outrage that we're surrounded by today. Number one, the AR-15 is not an assault weapon.
Right.
You can assault people with it like they did with rent-a-vans in London and in France.
Yeah.
That would be an assault van, I suspect.
Right.
But a heroes of law enforcement that I met with today that are just, you know, as we pray for the families, and prayer is important. It will always
be. Can you be the left keeps telling us not to pray? What is that?
It's unbelievable that there's so many on the left that make fun of praying for the families and the victims, and that just identifies their soullessness and their political agenda, where they, like Ben Nelson in Florida, says we got to ban machine guns when there's been no machine guns used in any of
these. Hasn't he Googled it?
I mean, my point being is that it's not an assault weapon, it's not a high-power weapon, and as I said to my friend, you know, when we have death and mayhem and injuries from hurricanes, nobody recommends banning hurricanes because you can't.
Right.
When we have all these drownings in the country every year, no one recommends banning water because you can't. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot ban guns any more efficiently than you can ban hurricanes or water. If you want to survive water encounters, you learn to swim. If you want to survive hurricanes, you fortify your home. If you want to survive and overcome evil, you learn to fight back, you train and carry a firearm, and you stop evil with multiple rounds in return fire.
Yeah.
That's the missing link. History and evidence is irrefutable. If you don't shoot back, you lose. Who would accept that?
It's a New York Times best-selling author, NRA board member. He is a rock and roll legend, the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, on the line. At Ted Nugent on all the social media, tednugent.com. Go there, read his articles, and learn why with the education that you're getting is so intense. Ted, I talked right before speaking with you with a 16-year-old who survived the shooting in Florida 2 days ago. And she said before the shooting, and now even more so after the shooting, her parents and she believe that teachers should be armed. She survived. She watched her favorite teacher die on the ground in front of her. There was nobody there. There was one resource officer on a golf cart nowhere near where this guy was. 3,200 students in a school. You've got one guy on a golf cart. And I'm not denigrating him. I'm denigrating the idea that we shouldn't be fighting back. But then again, you've got the Jimmy Kimmels of the world and the CNN and NBC and CBSs of the world all saying everybody wants guns to be banned. Everybody wants fewer guns in society. That'll solve the problem. You and I both know that's untrue. But the big argument you get from the left when you say put a good guy with a gun in there, somebody who is willing to put himself between your child and the shooter and allow him to at least have a chance to fight back, their answer is he'll kill more innocent people. There'll be too much collateral damage, Pags. We can't have good guys with guns in school. You say what?
Well, number one, I'm drunk on your logic and common sense.
Thank
I love
you.
It. Keep it coming. I've studied in detail reports from federal agencies, good guys in the federal agencies, not to be confused with the FBI that completely blew it recently by not responding to red alarms in Florida.
They had a chance. They really
did. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
But I've studied Columbine, Virginia Tech, Aurora, Colorado. I've studied Sandy Hook. I've studied San Bernardino. I've studied all these instances, and here's the fact that no one is. You've never heard this before, so the guitar player will help educate the world.
Okay.
In every instance, Joe, there was a Joe Pags or a Ted Nugent or just a working hard, playing hard American who would have been armed and would have been adequately trained, except that law forbid them to be prepared for the assault of armed evil.
Right.
I just wrote a piece on my Facebook. It is not refutable. It is absolutely guaranteed that in every one of these mass shootings, good Americans would have been armed and prepared to stop the evil, but the laws forbid good guys from stopping evil. And that is the number one horror that has to change. When a person follows his instinct to fight back and survive and stop evil, and it's everywhere, Joe, everybody I know,
yeah,
carries a gun, and they would have intervened, and they could have stopped the evil in every situation.
Right.
Tactics and logistics reviewing each instance is unique. But I know for a fact that if the laws would get their head out of their politically correct ass,
yeah,
that good Americans would be armed, and they would intervene, and they would stop this, but they're not allowed to. That's the real tragedy.
Right. Hey, Ted, I'm with you. It's Ted Nugent, tednugent.com, at Ted Nugent, and all the social media. Go read that post he just talked about and the great articles that he writes, and get his books, absolutely, and don't miss a rock and roll show if he's in town. Ted, last question. I got to run here, and I know that you're very busy, but the last question has to be this. There's a bill, SB 1236, in Florida right now, which would give concealed carry holders and those who went through extra training who are teachers, who are allowed by principals and superintendents in Florida specifically. It's right now in the Senate in Florida that would give them the right to protect the school, protect the students, protect themselves. What can we do to make sure common sense legislation like this is allowed? We have these people who we trust to raise our kids, feed our kids, teach our kids, but we don't trust them to save our kids. What do we do to make sure something like this does happen?
Back to the issue that you and I talked many years ago when we first met each other and we saw the scourge, the self-inflicted, horrific, brain-dead, soulless scourge of political correctness,
right,
intervene with common sense and truth and logic, and that is the curse of apathy. American citizens, American families, like we showed in November of 2016, we have got to rise up and we have got to demand common sense, logic, constitutionality, what drives our quality of life by using logic and the evidence to provide quality of life. We've got to hammer and constantly put pressure on our elected employees to pass these kind of common sense laws. Some of those teachers, you look at the photos, Joe, in Parkland,
yeah,
and those were good, strong young men that gave up their life, the teachers and the janitor, a lot of people in these schools are desirable to be armed and capable of stopping evil, but they're not allowed to. So this is the kind of law that has to be passed. And when it is passed, then evil will give it a second thought before they take on an armed and protected citizenry.
So well said. Ted, I always appreciate the friendship. If you can believe it, it's been nearly 20 years now since we met.
Yes.
I appreciate every bit of logic that you bring, the truth that you bring, and your ability to educate and explain to my audience and to me what is being misreported purposely by the media. Thank you so much, my friend.
And thank you. And thank everybody for bringing that truth, logic, and common sense and positive energy to my Facebook. What a great chance to communicate these kinds of issues today.
We absolutely do push you to go to his Facebook. It's at Ted Nugent on Facebook, at Ted Nugent on Twitter. Your thoughts on what you just heard from the Motor City Madman. A lot of common sense there, plus your phone calls, too, on the weekend. Stay here. All right, great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Again, you can click on the link on the right-hand side if you're on a desktop. I think you've got to scroll down if you're on a mobile device, and you'll see the link to the interview with Kelsey Friend. Make sure you go and grab that, share that, listen to it again. The strength of that young girl is just mind-blowing. 1-800-501-7080. A lot of people want to be heard, and they've been holding a long time. Carol, Florence, Oregon, what's happening?
Hi, Joe Pags. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
this has really struck home with me because I used to have a career as a campus supervisor in Southern California. This was prior to Columbine, but there were a lot of things that were reasonable and that we implemented, and particularly access to the campus. There were only 2 points that someone could come on campus, and there were 5 campus supervisors. None of us were armed at that time. I know they are armed now, but the 2 entrances to the parking lots were always monitored, and you had to have a sticker on your car in order to come on campus. I cannot understand how an Uber can bring someone on campus and that person be allowed to get into the school.
Well, I'm with you. Not only does an Uber drop him off, but then the guy goes into a back stairwell. There should be no access there.
There should be no access. None of the students were allowed to be out of class without a pass. And, of course, there were enough of us to be able to monitor that. We were in touch with administration with radios. We did have golf carts. I know it's improved quite a bit. It was a big campus. It was 2,000. It's 3,000 now. But there should be no one wandering around at all. There were regulations as far as dress. You couldn't wear long black coats. You couldn't wear different kinds of colors that gangs would wear.
Carol, all great stuff. You hear the music. I got to run here. I appreciate your insight. Yeah, the guy should never been able to get on campus. Somebody dropping him off from a ride sharing service is odd too. That plus now Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, angry with the FBI. I'll tell you what he said. Stay here. Hey, great radio stations all over the place. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, the Blaze Radio Network 2. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride. I've got a Monday through Friday show. It's the Joe Pags Show. 105 radio stations now and growing, and so happy to be on in so many different areas. You can find out if we've got a station near you. Like, just had a guy get a hold of me from the Albany area of New York. We love being on WGY on the weekend, but yes, we do have a station during the week. Just go to my website, JoePags.com. Click on Find a Station. Let me know your city, your state, or just give me your zip code, and I'll let you know if we're either working on a station there or if we have one there. Again, JoePags.com. Make sure you get that done. Rick Scott is the governor of Florida. For some reason, people are trying to blame Rick Scott for a school shooting that happened in South Florida. Rick Scott works, of course, in Tallahassee. He's the governor for the entire state, but I'm not sure what the governor did wrong here. The fact is, there are gun-free zone policies at schools, and the only people who follow rules, laws, and regulations are law-abiding citizens. Bad guys don't. Bad guys see that and say, oh, look, I can go in here and do whatever I want. Rick Scott certainly isn't to blame, but he's a guy who I take as being honest and sincere when he says, I want to fix it. Well, he's angry with the FBI for good reason. Now, many of us have heard the story that this bad guy, this shooter, this now admitted murderer, had a post on YouTube where he said he wants to be a professional school shooter. That's what he said he wanted to do. The FBI was contacted, but by the time they were contacted, I guess the post was taken down, and they said they couldn't track the guy's IP address, which I don't believe, by the way. Anything we do online now, our digital footprint is everywhere. But let's say that we believe that for a second. Turns out the FBI was made aware of this guy a month and a half ago. This specific guy. And they dropped the ball. Here's the story from CBS News. Florida Governor Rick Scott calls on FBI Director Chris Wray to resign. Florida's Republican Governor Rick Scott is calling on FBI Director Christopher Wray to resign after the FBI admitted it received a tip about the suspect in the Parkland shooting as recently as January, but failed to follow through on it. The FBI admitted in a statement Friday that it received a call on January 5th detailing concerns about, then they say, the name of the idiot that I'm not going to give fame to in this story. The 19-year-old law enforcement officials believe is responsible for the deaths of 17 people at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School earlier this week. By the way, there's no reason to keep on saying that people say or allegedly. He's admitted it. Okay, he's admitted it. The FBI determined protocols were not followed when a tip was phoned into the FBI's public access line, but was never forwarded to the FBI's Miami field office and received no further investigation. Scott called that unacceptable in a statement issued on Friday. The FBI's failure to take action against this killer is unacceptable, Scott said. The FBI has admitted they were contacted last month by a person who called to inform them of this guy's, this people. Not of some person doing it, not of some anonymous person online. This guy. And the potential of him conducting a school shooting. 17 innocent people are dead, and acknowledging a mistake isn't going to cut it, Scott continued. An apology will never bring back these 17 Floridians, bring them back to life, or comfort the families who are in pain. The families will spend a lifetime wondering how this could happen, and an apology will never give them the answers they desperately need. We constantly promote see something, say something, and a courageous person did just that to the FBI, and the FBI failed to act. See something, say something is an incredibly important tool, and people must have confidence in follow-through from law enforcement. The FBI director needs to resign, he said. Ray's bureau is already under fire from the Trump administration over the Russia probe, which saw new indictments Friday against 13 Russians who tried to influence the 2016 election, as well as a surveillance of former Trump campaign official Carter Page. January was also not the first time law enforcement received information about this guy. A YouTuber told CBS News he reported a post he believed was from the suspect to the FBI back in September. Now keep in mind, the police also say that they were called out to investigate this guy for any number of reasons over the years, 35, 37, 39 times. And again, nothing was done. So what is see something, say something? So I got to tell you, most normal people, and I deal with the FBI because I know some FBI agents and field officers and all of this. But at the same time, most normal Americans probably have never called the FBI. So somebody actually stepped up, found the number, called in, this person, here's his name, here's his age, here's where he is threatening to kill people or maybe even perpetrate a school shooting. This isn't the same YouTube report from September where it might have been him. The guy in the same name wanted to be a professional school shooter. This is a real, hey, there's something up with this guy. And the FBI just didn't do it. Just like the Air Force didn't notify about the church shooter before it happened. Or didn't put him on a no-buying guns list because of his criminal history. And none of this is acceptable. We don't continue having this debate if the checks and balances that are already in place and already on the books are actually done. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time and holding on. A lot of people want to be heard. It's going to be Dom in Minnesota. Hi, Dom. What's going on?
Hey, Joe, thank you for interviewing Kelsey, that girl from the school shooting. I'll be praying for her.
Yes, sir.
You know, we need to hear from people that were affected and not from the politicians who keep repeating that we don't need an assault rifle for hunting. I'm surprised that these people keep getting reelected and keep their jobs. That's the first thing. First off, I just want to offer my prayer for the kids that were killed and their families to get through this tragedy. But here's one solution to this problem. I'm half joking, but I'm half serious. Schools in many states are gun-free zones, right? So, you know, these CEOs of these companies like Google, Facebook, Apple, and Hollywood are all advocating for gun control while they drive around in armored cars and security armed to the hilt.
Yeah.
How about this? Let's migrate all public schools nationwide to an online format, and we can contract Facebook, Google, and Apple and all these companies to create a national online platform for free. So everyone will always be in a gun-free zone for the rest of their life. I would really like to see someone propose that and see the reaction of these CEOs and the gun control crowd. That would be a sight to behold, wouldn't it?
Well, those that are safe and secure, like Michael Bloomberg, who's got 5 to 7 armed security guards anywhere he goes, feel very, very comfortable talking about why you and your children and my children should not have the same safety. It's very strange to me. It's as if they're actually saying, without actually saying, I'm more important than you. I'm more important than your children. Do what I say do, and don't worry about what I'm doing. It's like Rosie O'Donnell, who attacked Tom Selleck. I appreciate you, Dom. Who attacked Tom Selleck on her TV show 15 years ago. Invited him on to talk about some TV show he was going to do or some movie he was going to do. And instead, used it as a platform to attack him for being in the NRA. Rosie O'Donnell also stopped doing ads for Kmart because she said, I can't be the spokesperson for a company that sells guns. Rosie O'Donnell has armed security with her and has to protect her and her kids for many, many years. And when asked about that, she just kind of blows it up. Ah, you're not bad, but you got to protect her. What? What? And either people like that are so indifferent to the safety and security of you and your family, or they're really, really ignorant, just stupid people. I don't believe that they're stupid. Now, Rosie O'Donnell is certainly ignorant, and she's completely off the reservation. But I don't think that the CEO of Apple is stupid. I don't think Michael Bloomberg is stupid. I don't think that Barack Obama is stupid. I think that they're actually pretty intelligent people who just, for some reason, in their heads, are able to make a dichotomy between how they live and what they're telling us. And I've never understood that. I'm not good at understanding things that are unreasonable. By the way, there is, and I talked to Ted Nugent about this, you heard it in the interview, there is a bill right now in the Senate in the state of Florida about campuses and their security. It's SB 1236. If you're listening in the state of Florida right now, I want you to understand this is right now in your state Senate. And it has been since last year. It has been since before this school shooting. And something should be done to make sure SB 1236 goes through in the state of Florida. This was filed in December of last year. It was referred to the Judiciary Committee and Education Rules SJ 143 in January of this year, introduced SJ 143 in the Senate. On the 15th, the day after the school shooting, it's on the committee agenda. Now it's pushed to the Judiciary Committee on the 20th of this month, 4 o'clock in the Senate office building. Here's what the bill says. It's being brought by Baxley and Staub, S-T-E-U-B-E, Staub, Stube, I'm not sure. School safety, providing an exception to a prohibition on possessing firearms or other specified devices on school property or other specified areas for authorized concealed weapon or firearm licensees who are designated by school principals or district school superintendents, requiring district school board to formulate and prescribe policies and procedures for active shooter and hostage situations, requiring a district school superintendent to provide specific specified agencies with certain strategy and activity recommendations to improve school safety and security. So what is it saying? What it's saying is the principal or the superintendent can say, yes, these teachers who are CCW or concealed carry permitted to hold licensees, we give them the ability to concealed carry on campus. These teachers, these janitors, these cafeteria workers, these faculty members, whatever, these administrators, they are allowed to carry. Also, we need some policies and procedures for our students to utilize and for our teachers and employees to utilize when, God forbid, another one of these things happens. This bill makes sense. It's a real bill in the real Senate in the state of Florida. And if you're in the state of Florida, contact your representative or your senator and tell them we want this done now. SB 1236. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stay right here. All right, great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We will switch gears at the top of the hour. I want to talk about the Olympics. I want to talk about North Korea, their presence there. I want to talk about the treatment of Vice President Mike Pence there. I want to talk about the ratings or lack thereof when it comes to the Olympic Games in South Korea. and much more. I'll have to that end, I'll have Mark Lotter on, who is the former press secretary for the vice president, Mike Pence. And I want to talk about, who is Mike Pence? Is he a gay-bashing, gay-hating homophobe? And why exactly would our athletes refuse to shake his hand and meet him? I mean, whatever happened, listen, when Obama was in office and the doofus Joe Biden, I 100%, well, not 100% because I agreed with a few things that he did, but I disagree with his policies pretty uniformly. I mean, what Obama was trying to do, what he ended up doing, I had a real problem with. And Biden was just his lap puppy to go along with him. But if Joe Biden or Barack Obama would have invited me to the White House like Donald Trump did in November, I would have been there with bells on, and I would have been honored, and I would have shown the proper respect to the office. Now, again, you can start from abortion to gay marriage to the way we looked in the world, to the way he handled the economy, the way that unemployment was skyrocketing and entitlements were going way up. We could go down the list. I disagreed with him and had a major problem with his view of our great land. But I'd have been there with bells on, and I would have respected the office, and I would have thanked him for the opportunity. Today, if you disagree with the current president or vice president, they're dead to you. You're not going to shake their hand. You're not going to meet them. You hate them, and you're going to call them racists and homophobes and bigots and everything else. It's weird. It's actually unreasonable. Because we got to where we are today in this free society where we have the First Amendment and all this other stuff. We got here because we were reasonable in how we dealt with it. And we're supposed to be tolerant and accepting and open. But we're not. Because when a gay figure skater says, I can't meet the vice president, that's somebody who's not tolerant and is not open and is not accepting to somebody whose Christian beliefs say, this is a sin. So it's very weird to me. We'll talk about that. Who is Mike Pence? We'll talk to Mark Lotter, top of the hour. Bottom of next hour, it'll be Michael Malice. Michael Malice is a guy who is an expert on North Korea. And I want to talk to him about the star-making our media tried to do with Kim Jong-un's sister because she's cute or something. Very, very strange. I mean, I get it that you get more of a pass if you're a good-looking person. I mean, I think that Barack Obama, because he's a good-looking dude and can speak well and reads a teleprompter well and really does have the ability to grab an audience, I think he got more of a pass on some horrible, horrible pieces of legislation, horrible moves through his administration. Just really, I mean, honestly, 8 years of what the hell is he doing? But he got more of a pass because he's not a bad-looking dude. I mean, Kim Jong-un's sister, she's cute, I guess. But that means that she's not an evil killer from a dictatorship that starves its own people? Miranda, I don't know what your politics are much, and I think that's why I like working with you so much. Am I missing something on this woman? Because she's cute, she can do anything she wants, and we should kiss her ass? The entirety of our media in this country acted like she's some star.
It felt like she had some kind of weird PR campaign going. I'm not watching the Olympics because really I don't care. It's all ice skating all the time. I just don't care.
Right.
But yeah, I caught a few of those articles earlier in the week, and it's just bizarre. I don't get it.
Kim Jong-un's sister takes the Olympics by storm, shines brighter than our vice president. She's North Korea's Ivanka Trump. These are real headlines. What?
They're paying people.
You think that's what's going
on? Yeah, of course. It's like state-sponsored propaganda. This isn't real.
You know what her title is?
What?
She's the Minister of Propaganda. That's her true title. It is.
Well, all right then. Asked and answered.
Exactly right. All right. Let me go to the phone lines. A lot of people still want to be heard in the school shooting, what we do about it. And I love your reasonable phone calls that we're getting. And that's all I ask. You can disagree with me. Just be reasonable. Scott is in North Carolina. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
I'm living the dream, man.
I just wanted to call in real quick and talk about how about 10 years ago, I had some people in my life trying to gear me in the right direction. And I became a Christian and started studying the Bible, and it's changed my life over the last 10 years. Prior to that, I mean, I was a hardened thug. That's what I was. As far as gun laws go, they don't make any sense to me at all, not one of them. I bought. Now I don't know if this is a federal law or just a North Carolina state law, but I know at least in North Carolina it's illegal to buy a pistol or own a pistol before you're 21 years old. I bought my first pistol when I was in high school, and I would for $20. It was a stolen gun.
Wow.
These weapons are out there. People have them. Not every criminal carries a gun, but everyone that does, I guarantee you, carries it concealed. Not one of them is carrying it out in the open, and they're
right.
ready to do whatever they have to with it to make money or to protect themselves or whatever it is. I know that after owning that pistol, I carried a gun with me everywhere I went. It was always concealed. Now, you might not agree with this, but and I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't, but I really don't agree with the carry concealed laws. As far as I can understand, the Second Amendment says that my right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It doesn't mean that I have to show them to everybody. And when the criminals, it's the same arguments everybody makes against gun laws, is that, well, the criminals aren't going to abide by them. I guarantee you there is not one criminal that wants to get a carry concealed permit to carry concealed. They're not going to make sure that gun's always visible just because they don't have a carry concealed permit.
I'm almost out of time. How do we fix it? Give me 10 seconds.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, what?
How do we fix the problem of children dying in school?
Well, I don't really know that answer. I was just trying to comment on gun laws. I don't think.
And you know what? I appreciate that. No, I really do. I'm out of time, but he's right. The criminal doesn't care about what the laws are. They're going to carry it. They're going to conceal it. We should be able to protect ourselves. Stay here.
Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, the Blaze Radio Network. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's The Weekend with Joe Pags. Make sure you stop by JoePags.com for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, there is a way to find out if there's a station for you for the Monday through Friday Joe Pags show. Just click on Find a Station. Tell me your zip code or your city or state, and I'll let you know if we've got one there. Getting several, and yes, a lot of those markets we are in, and I'll make sure that I'll let you know in just a moment. Meantime, I want to go to the Olympics, and the Olympics ratings suck. They're down 8% just from, I think, 2014. And you wonder why. I mean, I guess it could be because of the time change between the United States and South Korea. That could be. But then again, there have always been time changes when it's overseas somewhere. 8% is big. And I guess cross platforms, streaming and whatever else, there are a lot of people who just aren't watching and just don't care. Now, I can't say specifically through empirical data that it's because of the politics injected, but I'll say this. When I'm watching skaters, I don't care who they want to sleep with or who they're attracted to. That doesn't matter to me. And it truly doesn't matter to me if they're having relations outside of, their own marriage or if they're having relations with somebody of the same gender. I don't care. It's not my job to care. That's going to be between them, their value system, their God, their way of life, and I'm fine with it. I'm not looking to sleep with any of them, so it doesn't directly affect me. Now, if you ask me what I think about gay marriage or ask me what I think about being a Christian, I will answer you, and I've done so over the years several times, and I'll continue to. But that's not what skating is about or skiing is about or snowboarding is about. It just isn't a luge. I mean, none of that matters. What matters is, are you wearing my flag representing my country, and are you winning? I want you to. I'm going to root for you. But I've tuned in the Olympics every once in a while since they've been on, and so far I've gotten nothing but, well, and you're not meeting with Mike Pence and you're openly gay. Let's talk about that. It's very strange. Why? He's a skater. Or you tune in and since Title IX in the early 1970s, suddenly we can cheer on female athletes. Are you on crack? We've been cheering on female athletes for 40 years. And even way farther back, some of our best athletes in our history from 100 years ago were women. So let's stop. Please stop. Don't inject politics into a sporting event. It's the same reason why I have a problem with people kneeling on the sideline at an NFL game. I tuned it in so I could get away from politics for a minute. So the vilification of Mike Pence by the media, and of course making Kim Jong-un's horrible sister look like some sort of a superstar, really got to me. I wanted to get with Mark Lauder. He's the former press secretary for Vice President Mike Pence, to find out who Mike Pence is and his thoughts on what's happening in South Korea. Mark, I always appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Yourself?
Brother, man, I'm doing great. I'm having a hard time watching the Olympics a bit, though, and let's jump right into that. I love that Mike Pence is the representative for our country there. I find him to be an incredibly nice guy, as you know, because you set it up. I interviewed him once during the campaign, and we spent a good 10, 12 minutes just really getting to know the guy, and he seems to be a really good man. The problem with being a really good man in America today, it doesn't really matter if you're not on the correct side of things when it comes to the indoctrinated media, millennials, and I guess these athletes over in South Korea. So let me start from what's making news today with this guy. He's over there representing us, showing firm support for our athletes, and some athletes are saying they refuse to meet with him because they think that he hates gay people. Help me out here, Mark. You know him better than almost anybody.
Well, I can tell you, the vice president is a very warm, genuine person. The man you see, whether it be on TV or in speeches, is the man he is. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. There's a lot of misinformation, misreporting about a campaign website from, you know, nearly, you know, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
They've taken out of context, and it's unfortunate. You know, I mean, the vice president is a Christian man. He's man of faith, and he definitely lets everyone know that. But he's also said on more than one occasion that he doesn't believe anyone should be disrespected or discriminated against based on who they are or who they love.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that it's absolutely mind-blowing that while the vice president is over at the Olympics, he is sending a strong message from our allies in Japan and South Korea to the tyrannical regime in North Korea, that you have mainstream media outlets like CNN fawning all over Kim Jong-un's sister.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is just beyond compale that if our media can be duped by a smile from someone whose title is Deputy Director of Propaganda and Agitation.
Right.
To one of the most murderous, tyrannical, oppressive regimes currently on the face of the earth.
Well, she's the representative of him. So let's get into that. And again, it's Mark Lauder, former press secretary for Vice President Mike Pence. We'll get back into what happened 18 years ago on that website in a second. But I want to go where you went. Kim Jong-un's sister is there. She and Kim Jong-un had their own brother killed so that he couldn't be the heir apparent should somebody pull off a military coup in North Korea and get rid of this fat idiot. She's there as part of a murderous regime that purposely killed millions of North Koreans through the famine just to prove some point to the world, that killed Otto Warmbier because he happened to be American and was there. This is a regime that has no problem killing their own family members, no problem killing their own people. Their people are so malnourished, as you know, that they stand in stature 6 to 7 inches shorter on average than South Koreans who have the same exact genes. So to kiss her rear end and make her look like the star, while at the same time saying she's outshining Mike Pence, who is the man you just said he was, it's, to me, it's bizarro world. And I hope America isn't buying it. Do you think they are?
I think not. I mean, really, it is the sign of ignorance and just being uninformed if you would buy that kind of propaganda. I mean, the vice president, when he was in South Korea, met with defectors from North Korea,
right,
including someone who was tortured for being handicapped. People who have escaped that regime. And what we saw was that Japan, South Korea, the United States, and so many of our world partners are ready and have been working under President Trump's leadership to bring the most significant sanctions to that regime for developing nuclear weapons and the ballistic missile technology to deliver it.
Right.
The world will not stand for it. And despite her, if you want to call it a charm offensive or just more propaganda that apparently the mainstream media or some in the mainstream media here fell for, this administration's not going to be fooled. And the American people are not going to be fooled by it.
Well, I mean, just because she's cute, so what? It doesn't matter. I mean, there have been plenty of dictators that weren't horribly ugly that did horribly ugly things. I mean, at some point, you've got to realize as a media that you've got a responsibility. No, I mean, you've been on the media for a long time. I've been in this business almost 30 years. I mean, at some point, you've got to show that you truly are somebody who can cover an event and tell the truth. I mean, I'm watching Mike Tirico, the host of the Olympics on NBC the other day, interviewing a figure skater who did great, 28-year-old guy, I forget his name. And he's interviewing him, and for some reason, the third or fourth question has to be, so you're openly gay, and there's been a bit of controversy about the vice president being here, and the guy's answer is like, my mother always told me to stand up for what I believe in. I don't understand. Are we watching the Olympics or are we not? Are we watching propaganda being thrown in our faces by our own media? Propaganda that's being directed by North Korea? Mark, I got to tell you, I know it's just a bunch I'm throwing at you, man, but I am just confused by it all.
It is. And, you know, I think David French wrote in the National Review today a great article about it. Where he called it the media's storm of stupidity.
Well,
you know, it's a fault of partisanship, ideology and clickbait. And it's unfortunate, but I do think the American people are seeing through it. The vice president was over there to do two things, really. One was send a unified message to the regime in North Korea, and also to show his support for all of our United States athletes as they were competing in the Olympics. And that is a message that did not deter based on who they were or anything about them. He wanted every one of our American athletes to be successful, to come home with a medal, and he continues to think that way.
It's Mark Lotter, former press secretary for Vice President Mike Pence. One last thing on this. I did a little bit of research, which in this day and age means I Googled it, to find out what the problem is with these gay athletes and Mike Pence. And what I know about him is he's through and through Christian. And if you're a Christian, you believe homosexuality is a sin, but you don't believe they should be arrested or killed or anything like that. And certainly not disrespected as a human being, just your choices when it comes to who you are attracted to or have relations with. In Christianity, it says that's a sin. I'm guessing Mike Pence, like I, believes that marriage is defined by one man and one woman. I don't know why how that's controversial. Muslims believe that. Jews believe that. Christians believe that. I'm not sure why shaking his hand or meeting with him would be any different. But I wanted to find out about this gay conversion therapy that's being claimed by these athletes. He believed in converting gays to being straight. From what I was able to tell, even but from the left-wing fact-checking site Snopes, Mike Pence never said that. What he said was, he is okay for funding for people who are seeking help with what they feel is a mental issue. Did I read it right?
Roughly, yes. And what this refers to is a website about the campaign for Congress in, I think it was 2000. Okay. And the comment that's attributed, and it's not a quote, it's more of a policy statement, but the now vice president, then 20 years ago congressman, a candidate for Congress, was talking about making sure that money that was allocated through the Ryan White AIDS Act, which the then congressman supported, he supported it while he was a member of Congress multiple times while it was being reauthorized, but he was basically making sure that he thought the money should go to organizations that promote safe sexual practices,
right,
and as a way to combat AIDS.
Why is that an issue? Because Ryan White, if I remember, got AIDS through a blood transfusion. I think he was a hemophiliac, and he died.
Correct.
So that's what this is about, right?
And so basically, the statement was basically one of policy, talking about making sure that money allocated through that act was used in a way that promoted safe sexual practices to reduce and eliminate the transmission of HIV/AIDS. It is not about gay conversion therapy. It's not about any of those things. The vice president has never supported that, has never been talked about being supportive of that, and yet it was being misused in ways to try to convey a sentiment that he never expressed.
So much like other fake news, this is something that the indoctrinated sponges took in, believed, and ran with, and I'm not going to be in the same room as Mike Pence, which is ridiculous. And oh, by the way, these gay athletes are competing right alongside Muslim athletes who hate their way of life against other Christian athletes who think it's a sin, and that's perfectly fine. But meeting the vice president, the representative of our country, is somehow out of line. Mark, it's nuts to me. Let me ask you quickly, in the time we have remaining about infrastructure, I want to make a sharp right turn here. I'm a conservative like you are, like Mike Pence is, like the president generally seems to be. But $1.5 trillion in new infrastructure spending bothers me greatly as a conservative, because I know that we now, because of Obama and Bush, we have a $20 trillion deficit, and we're running deficit spending constantly. How do we make sense of this as conservatives to ever get that debt under control if we're going to spend that kind of money?
Well, the first thing I tell you, Joe, is don't get distracted by the total dollar figure. What the president is outlining is using about $200 billion in federal funding, which would be saved by cutting that money from other federal programs and agencies, and using it to spur at least $1.5 trillion in state, local, private partnership investments, which would bring you the grand total of about $1.5 trillion, $1.7 trillion in terms of total infrastructure spending. The federal government has always been the partner in terms of eligible infrastructure projects. So basically what the president is saying is, let's use this money to generate local spending, state spending, private spending where appropriate, so we can get the maximum value for every taxpayer dollar. And as someone who spent most of his entire career working in state and local government, I can tell you, roads, bridges, airports, ports, those are the things that the people want. They expect mayors and governors to deliver on those kinds of things, because that's where jobs go. That's how the product gets from the factory to the store, or the parts manufacturers get it to the assembly line.
As long as he doesn't call them
better infrastructure.
As long as he doesn't call them shovel-ready jobs, which Obama later admitted was a lie. What I got from the president when he ran, Mark, and I think you heard this too, he was embarrassed by how our infrastructure looks, our bridges, our roads, our airports. You know, he said, "I'll fly to Dubai and see this incredible structure that's a point of pride for the people, and then I come back here and our airports are crumbling." So, which is exactly why he's doing what he's doing and why he wants what he wants from infrastructure. But as a conservative, I'm still concerned about that. Mark, we always appreciate the time. Mark Lauder, former press secretary for Vice President Mike Pence. 1-800-501-7080. Your thoughts on that and more on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here. Hey, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Coming up, it'll be Michael Malice. Michael Malice, you probably saw him on Red Eye on Fox News Channel for a long time. He's a guy that I think you'll recognize when you see him. He's an expert on North Korea, wrote a book called Dear Reader, the unauthorized autobiography of Kim Jong-il, and he's got great knowledge of the Kim family, great knowledge of what people in North Korea actually face. We do speak a little bit about North Korea, their lack of freedoms, our freedoms here, the school shooting, and so on. As we talk about the school shooting, I mentioned Michael Keaton earlier. Michael Keaton said something ridiculous about the NRA and guns are bad or something. And again, here's a guy who is a major movie star, was an A-list for a guy for a long time. I don't know if he still is. Miranda, is Michael Keaton still A-list? He's not, is he? He was great in Mr. Mom.
Sorry, I'm here. A-list, I would say maybe, what, 2 or 3 years ago when he won the Oscar, but no one's thought about him since.
Yeah, what has he done since? Has he done anything since?
I think he did that movie about the Catholic stuff.
Oh, was he in that?
I don't know.
And he was the original Batman.
Batman. That's from when I was a kid. Yeah, great Batman. Oh, yeah.
You were a kid?
Yeah.
Come on.
Tim Burton.
I was like 30 when that came out. All right. So, yeah, I don't know that he's an A-list guy anymore. Sally Field used to be, but I don't think she is anymore either. But Sally Field now has chimed in on the school shooting. The NRA and Republicans, or the NRA and GOP, are complicit. That's what because Sally Field in Smoking the Bandit, I realized how what a deep thinker she was. To me, she's now said everything that needs to be said. And I guess the Hollywood types are going to keep on coming out. I don't know why the GOP did it and the NRA did it when we know the bad guy did it and the government itself and the school system itself that we all pay for did not protect the kids who are in school. So the whole thing is very weird to me. Let me quickly grab Daniel. Daniel, unfortunately, less than a minute, but make it happen. Go.
Hey, how's it going today, Joe?
I'm living the dream, man. I don't have much time. I want you to use it up. Go ahead.
Okay, at the end of each hallway, every single hallway in every single school across country, instead of hiring armed guards, put take four lockers out, put a safe there, put the locker face facade back on, put a shotgun, a law enforcement grade taser, two pistols, some extra magazines, and train all the faculty to be able to use them.
I appreciate that, but if it's known that that's there, I think that gives the bad guy another resource to go and grab. I like that you had an idea. Don't know that I can agree with it, but I do appreciate you taking the time. All right, we've got a lot coming your way, including Michael Malice, some real insight into what's happening in North Korea, who that family is, and why the media is all wet and how they covered them. Keep it here. Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. It's The Weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080 or JoePags.com. Go there, click on Facebook, click on Twitter, Instagram. You could also send me an email. Click on Find a Station, and that'll send me an email. Just give me your zip code or your city, and I'll let you know if the Monday through Friday Joe Pags show is on where you are. North Korea. And the sister of Kim Jong-Fat, I think it's pronounced Kim Jong-Fat, they've been getting all sorts of positive media from our outlets here in the United States. It's pretty sick. Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, CNN, ABC News, NBC News, NPR, Time, The Telegraph, of course, from Great Britain. The others all from here have been kissing the rear end of Kim Jong-un's sister because she's cute. She outshined Mike Pence. She's North Korea's Ivanka Trump. Completely acting as if they don't know, and believe me, they know, how disgusting the regime is and how therefore disgusting she is and her brother is. And I had to get with an expert on North Korea. His name is Michael Malice to get some insight on this. And Michael's written a book called Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Autobiography of Kim Jong-il, right? What I love about it, Michael, is that I think the first time this went right over my head, but you can't have an unauthorized autobiography. That's autobiography means something. So I think it's a great title. And Hopefully people went and bought it and it flew off the shelves after we spoke last time. I want to start for the reason that we contacted you earlier in the week. Of course, it was before the school shooting. And yes, I think we can relate to the daily news that's going on in a second. But I want to go to, what is her name? Little Mary Un? Kim Jong?
Kim Yo Jong.
Exactly right. She's cute. Let's admit it. You know what I mean? That seems sure to be the whole big thing about her. She's cute. And so what that she killed her stepbrother or whatever he was or helped to kill him? And so what that she's the propaganda minister of right. North Korea? She's cute. So CNN loves her. ABC loves her. She outshined our vice president. When you're watching all this unfold, A, were you surprised that our media is so stupid? And B, how should we have treated this person who's representing like a heinous dictatorship?
I was very surprised. Because when I started doing my work with North Korea, one of my goals was to shift the national conversation from looking at it like a sideshow and realizing this is a prison camp. And whether I've done right wing, left wing, you know, I've been in Al Jazeera, I've been in Alex Jones, everyone has been receptive because it came from a place of ignorance. And as soon as you sit down and talk to people about what it's really like, people understand. They're like, oh, my goodness, how did I think this was funny? Like, you know, it's very quick that they come around. So to me, hearing these headlines and seeing these reports over the weekend really was a step back. And I was surprised because I expected these people to know better. I really did. So I was apoplectic. My Twitter on Saturday was quite
I love your tweets, by the way, because you just don't care. I love how you tweet. You, honest to God, don't care. And that's the best way to tweet. It's Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Autobiography of Kim Jong-il. The writer is Michael Malice. Michael, this was the narrative. Mike Pence is bad because gay skaters don't want to meet him. The gay skaters are right. He's wrong because Christianity. And then here's again, whatever her name is, she's a cute young lady who obviously has blood that's freezing cold going through her veins.
Oh, yes.
As millions of North Koreans died in a famine. by the hands of her family, as hundreds of thousands are working hard labor till they die because they dared, you know, say one word that was askance from the administration.
Where children have their growth stunted because of malnutrition.
They're 7 or 8 inches shorter than the South Koreans that have the same genes. It doesn't make any sense. All right, so do you think the news media is just that stupid? Or do you think that it was their plan that the American people will like her better because she's cuter than Pence or something? What do you think? What do you think the motive was?
I honestly think they're just that privileged. I was born in the Soviet Union. I know what it's like. I remember my mom calling my grandma back in Russia on the phone. You know someone's listening on that call and you have to talk in code.
Wow.
People here think Trump tweeting out attacks on New York Times reporters is oppressing free speech. They have no idea what an oppressed free speech is like. They have no idea what it's like when, you know, Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, all these other places where reporters had to Xerox things in secret, where they knew at any night they could be a knock at the door and they're taken away. And North Korea, there's an organization called Reporters Without Borders. North Korea is dead last of every country on earth when it comes to press freedom. So I read this book once called The History of Cocaine. The guy went to South America and met with these drug lords who have killed many, many people, including police officers. And they're just these fat South American guys. And they say, what did you expect, horns? So you look at her on TV.
Right.
And she's this pretty young woman. And she's sitting there with this Mona Lisa smile. And you're like, oh, she's intriguing. It's like, yes, that is the surface. And that's fair. But as a reporter, it is your job to be like, hold on. This isn't someone on Celebrity Big Brother. This cute North Korean woman who's just sitting there dressed nicely, saying nothing. You know, they're talking about her like she gave the State of the Union this amazing encounter. She didn't say anything.
Right.
Keep in mind, and propaganda minister, they're, you know, no matter right or left, everyone understands those are the most evil people in a totalitarian regime, because it's there's the enforcers who, you know, enforce the laws and are brutal, but these are the ones who start with the kids. These are the ones who make sure your mind is controlled every minute of every day. It was Goebbels under Hitler.
It's the Hitler youth. Absolutely right. I mean, it's a great comparison. It's Michael Malice. Name of the book is The Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Autobiography of Kim Jong-il. I just want to I want to add one bit and then let you riff a little bit more, because what you're saying makes such incredible sense. Had the skaters, the gay skaters and the gay athletes decided to meet with Vice President Pence, they would have had every right to say, here's why we were hesitant. Here's what our differences are. Let's talk about it. And Pence would have said, yeah, in a free society, that's what we do. If somebody had a problem with Kim Jong-un or Kim whatever, fill in the blank, you can't do that. You'll die. You'll be killed.
Your family will die.
If they think you think there's a problem with the Kim family, you and your family will die. Wasn't it in the past 6 months that this family killed his stepbrother or his own brother because they were afraid that he could be the heir apparent should somebody pull a coup off and get rid of this guy? Didn't what that about, just happen?
What about last summer when they said they were going to shoot missiles at Guam?
Right.
What did Guam ever do to anybody?
But she's cute. Yeah, but Michael, she's cute. Come on.
Right. So this reminds me of a joke Reagan told Gorbachev back in the 80s, where he says the difference between America and Russia, whereas in America, a guy can go up to the Oval Office, slam his fist on the desk and say, Mr. President, you're doing a terrible job. But in Russia, a guy can go in the office, slam his fist on the desk and say, I think the American president's doing a terrible job.
But there's
a truth to it, meaning the things that people are saying about Pence and Trump are horrific. Let's even assume they're true. Who cares? Compared to what's going on over there, these people are angels. Even if every criticism of Trump and Pence were true, which I don't believe they are.
Yeah.
Fine. You don't want to go to the White House? Boo. Try turning down an invite from the North Korean government and see what happens to you.
It's a great point. And at the same time, all you have to really do is say one name. Forget about his stepbrother. Nobody knew who he was. Forget about that they kill anybody who says something wrong. We don't really see it. We don't really see the prison camps.
Sure.
All I have to say is out of warm beer, right?
Oh,
the guy took a sign off the wall, allegedly, or grabbed some sort of a poster, and he's dead, Michael. He's dead because he dared do it in the wrong country.
Well, let's talk about how they look at the leaders in North Korea and compare it to here. Everyone in North Korea has a wall in their home, and on this wall are pictures of the great leader, Kim Il-sung, and the dear leader, Kim Jong-il. Wow. You have to dust it all the time. The frames are angled so there's no glare, right? And you go into people's houses, they have inspections to make sure that these pictures are held nicely. Here's where it gets sick. If there's a fire in your house or a flood, you're expected to save these pictures even at a cost of your life. They're talked about in the newspaper. Now, let's talk about here in America. I don't care how religious you are. There is not a single person who would say, my house on fire, I'm going to go save that Bible and die for it.
Or the picture of the Last Supper. You know, yeah. That's not going to happen. What's going to happen is I'll replace it after we save our family.
Yeah, there's no reverend who would say, save the crucifix at the cost of your children.
So are they really raised, Michael, to believe that this family is God?
It is more like it's in between. It's more like how we look at Uncle Sam. So okay. Uncle Sam is this being. He's an uncle. He must have nieces and nephews, but we don't think about him in those terms.
Right.
So it's actually a very recent phenomenon and a show of the regime's loss of power that he's trotting out his sister, and Kim Jong-un is also trotting out his wife, presenting himself as a human being. This is a very recent phenomenon. Under his father, Kim Jong-il, who died in 2011, the idea was he does not have any wants or desires other than caring for North Korea, yeah. And that's what he does 24/7.
Dear reader, the unauthorized autobiography of Kim Jong-il. It's a book by Michael Malice. That's who we're talking to, and I hope that you'll go and get it. Last question on the Koreas before I try to shift to the school shooting. And I think that we can talk about that when it comes to freedoms and not any yes. freedoms at all. But last question on this. Are the South Koreans smart enough to realize the game the North is playing right now? The North doesn't really want to reunify. They don't really want to be a partner now, do they? I mean, this is all just an act, is it not?
No, they desperately want to reunify. So when you talk to North Korea, they regard Korea as one. North Korea is the most racist and homogenous country on Earth. They say Korea was the first government on Earth. Korean was the first language spoken on Earth. And Koreans are the only racially pure people on Earth. So
none of which is true, but go ahead.
None of which is true. Right. But when you talk about North or South Korea there, it's always lowercase n, lowercase s, because oh, wow. Korea is indivisible, and the South is a region under U.S. occupation. So this is their big thing. It's the U.S. imperialists, what we're called, that are keeping the South from reunifying and keeping your brothers separated. Now, they want
to that's the North Korean perspective, but in correct. South Korea, they're smart enough to understand this
of
would be
course.
Bad.
Of course. Now, the North does want reunification on their terms. Kim Jong-il would love to have twice the geography, but not only that, the GDP yeah. of South Korea is right. through the roof. He'd be so much wealthier. However, the Southerners aren't going to have that because they regard the North with a lot of contempt. They regard them as this like hillbillies. When you go from the South to from the North to the South, people have to lose their accents. So they have some empathy for it, but decreasingly they see it as their problem.
We hear so much talk from the Jimmy Kimmels of the world, from these, you know, people that read the words of others, people, by the way, who are all safe and sound. Their studios are protected by good right. guys with guns. And you hear about how the only thing we can do is get rid of the guns. This doesn't happen anywhere else. It doesn't even happen in North Korea. Can you yes. explain, just take a minute, Michael, please, to explain the differences between having a constitution that stops the government from trouncing on us and having a government that's only job is to trounce on you.
Well, I'm to the right of the constitutionalists. I don't think the Constitution has done a good job of protecting our rights. I think the Second Amendment is like the First Amendment in that it's not up to regulation or discussion.
Yeah.
So I think that we can do better than just the Second Amendment. And I think the Heller decision was a great thing. But yeah, like if the Second Amendment went away, I still have a right to self-defense and I still yeah. have a right to gun. It's not my gun. It's not contingent on what it says on a piece of paper.
Well, compare that to a regime like, let's go to Imperial Japan. I mean, Japan, if the stories are true, they didn't come here because we all have guns.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And what I wrote an article for Observer called The Case for Mandatory Gun Ownership. There used to be many counties in the pre-revolutionary era where having a gun was actually mandatory by law. And the more guns are distributed throughout America, the more guns are being normalized, the less the ability of the left will be to roll that back and take them out of people's hands. So once they're distributed fairly extensively, this is going to be a moot issue, and that's
yeah, Michael. They were normalized not very long ago. I graduated high school in 1984, and in the parking lot, you had all sorts of pickup trucks with gun racks with real guns in them. Nobody
right.
ever heard about a school shooting, a mass shooting in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. It didn't happen. So now it's happening at a greater clip, no pun intended, and we're pretending like the gun suddenly shot up, again, no pun intended, I'm not doing
yes,
that on
sure.
purpose, but the gun suddenly became the greater evil. Look, because guns, we now have this. We had guns per capita, probably as many, if not more, when I was in high school. What changed? Our perception of government control changed and our allowance for government to control us, I would imagine. I'm guessing you agree with that.
No, I'm an anarchist. So what I would say changed is increasing public schools and increasing public school control of people's minds. So my goal wouldn't be, if you want to eliminate school shootings, eliminate public schools, because that's great ways to make people mentally ill and neurotic.
That's a topic that we're going to have to go on for a long time next
yes,
time.
Yes, sir.
His name is Michael Malice. I love talking to him every time, although I'm not an anarchist. I'm certainly a libertarian conservative.
We'll get you there, Joe.
You know, you're trying. Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Autobiography of Kim Jong-il. Thanks so much for the knowledge, Michael. Talk soon. We always appreciate Michael Malice coming on. Your thoughts on that, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. We're coming right back. All right, glad to have you. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Want to go to Carl in New York. Carl, what's on your mind? Hi.
Joe, again, for the 12th time in 6 years, gratitude and thanks.
Thank you, man.
The thing is, history speaks in 100-foot high letters to me. Look through history at dames of dictatorial leaders. We've got Lucretia Borgia. We've got Eva Peron. We've got Madame Nu. We've got Winnie Mandela, who condoned burning people alive and with a tire wrapped around them. We've got Lucretia Borgia. We've got the Grand Bells, who were Hollywood celebrities to too many in the populace. And even lately, we have Bill Clinton's husband. You know, I mean, my goodness. You know, the media increasingly in our current lifetime, I think they aim not for the educated and thoughtful, but for the bottom. And they're hitting target more than ever locally. That's what I think.
I hear you and I appreciate you. You know, the thing is, we have to get rid of the politics of identity. And I guess that's not even the right way to say it. We have to get rid of the politics of how I feel about how you look. Because the fact is, generally speaking, the better looking person seems to get an easier amount of coverage or journalism or investigation by those who we rely on for news. If they look good, they can't possibly be this horrible. Can't possibly be that heinous. They can't possibly be that dictatorial. They can't possibly really be killing people's families. That can't really be going on, can it? And the fact is, yes, close your eyes, get the knowledge of who the person is, and then make your case. To give this woman a pass and to act like Mike Pence was somehow the bad guy in that picture, that group photo, was nuts to me. Just nuts. Let me go to line one. Randy's in Albany. Randy, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm living the dream, man. What's up?
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just wanted to talk to you about teachers having the ability to protect the students with a possible training program over the summertime. You know, they go away 2 weeks at the summer. They get trained. It's a boot camp. They check aptitude, stability, and they're trained to protect these kids in every situation. We know that we have a hero who was unarmed that would have happily stepped up to protect children. And that saddens my heart to know that there is a hero, and the hero didn't have enough. And it's in every situation. And I just, when are we going to come to when are we going to get real with the fact that we need, if it's cold, you put a coat on. And, we need to start protecting the kids like we protect everything else that's valuable to us.
I hear you, and you're right. I don't know about, you know, what kind of training that has to go into, but obviously there has to be some sort of a heightened sense of training, not just go to the gun range every once in a while, but active shooter training. I think that should happen. But without a doubt, for the public school system in this country to siphon $50 to $70 billion a year, that's just federally for the Department of Education, and then all of our property taxes and everything for our local stuff. I mean, for all that money to be siphoned and they can't guarantee our kids are going to come home safely, and we've got people who are blaming the NRA and Donald Trump, it's the dumbest thing I've seen. We are forced to pay for the public school even if we don't send kids to public school. And still, there's no guarantee that they're going to come home safely. That doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And the idea that somehow we're going to fix it. Like Emma Gonzalez is now, she's a survivor, one of them, from Parkland, from the Parkland shooting. And thank God she's alive. But she's trending now number one on Twitter because she attacked the GOP and the NRA in some speech she gave outside the school. She's number one now on Twitter because if you attack the GOP, if the GOP and the NRA went away tomorrow, that's not going to stop a bad guy with bad intentions from going and killing innocent people in America. We have to be smarter. Take the politics out of it and do what you know needs to be done to protect our kids. We got to go. For Miranda, for Martin, Joe Pags, back next week. See you then.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.